So what is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? Last week we looked at 1 John and the good news that if we go to Jesus, if we confess our sins, he will forgive us. And in fact, that the sins of the entire world have been forgiven. This is the truth that we can read in 1 John, that if we go to Jesus and we confess our sins to Jesus, then he will forgive us. It isn't a might. It isn't, we'll see how bad it is on whether or not I forgive you. It is a, you will be forgiven. And the writer of 1 John uses this imagery of light and dark, and that darkness is passing away. It is an active, ongoing action. It is passing away, and light has come. And he wraps up this idea of forgiveness with light and darkness, and that we don't need to be held by the darkness anymore, that light has come. That we can lean into and believe and trust in the forgiveness that is offered. And really, and for us truly receiving this forgiveness, it's freeing, it's liberating, it's removing a burden of guilt that we don't need to live with, so that we can live fully into a life with Jesus. So forgiveness is something that we can receive. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is something that we can receive. But what happens in the reverse? What is forgiveness when we are the ones that are doing the forgiving? What is forgiveness when it's down to us, when we are to be forgiving others? It's no longer something that we're just simply receiving, but it's something that we're supposed to be extending. Scripture speaks quite a bit about what does it mean for us to forgive. And in fact, it has quite a bit of strong language about it. In Mark's Gospel 11:25, Jesus is talking, says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will forgive your trespasses. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father, also who is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. And then Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew 6:14-15, almost takes it a little bit further than that. It says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, then neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So before it was a may, in Mark's Gospel it's a may there, but Matthew kind of clears it up, is that you have to forgive others if God is going to forgive you. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel about that. It feels a bit like an impossible task, right? Later in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells one of his famous parables. They're talking about how they're supposed to, you know, be with each other, and Jesus just gets done talking about the whole, like, in Matthew 18, like, how do you handle conflict or disagreement or how people sin against you, and you go to them, and then you go to them with somebody else, and then you go to the church, and then if that doesn't work, then you treat them like a sinner and a tax collector, which is to love them. And then Peter, this is Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Peter came to him, Jesus, and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive somebody who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. I'm going to save you from doing the math because I didn't do the math either, because this is just a hyperbole. It just means you forgive people, period. Not seven times, but just forgive. So much that it would be 70 times seven, which would you would nearly have to forgive them of an action against you every day of their life. And then Jesus goes into this parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. And in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will repay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars, and he grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged a little bit more time, be patient with me and I will repay it. But his creditor couldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put into prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants heard this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. And the king called the man that he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And Jesus says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Once again, I don't really know how I feel about that. This is the interesting thing about the parables of Jesus, is that one of the things that we need to wade through is it's a parable. What's the principles that are coming out of this story? This parable about the kingdom of heaven isn't necessarily so much about the people as it is the principle of what's being taught. That there is this king that his servant has a debt to him. And the debt in the Greek is quite literally tons of silver, like literally tons of silver. Like not just like, you know, the phrase, oh, he owed him a ton of silver. No, literally tons of silver. Could have never, never, ever repaid this king. And the king was calling due. I mean, that's exactly what the law said he could do. He could literally imprison his entire family and put them in debtor's prison until it was all repaid. And then the servant begged and said, I will do it. I will repay you. I promise. Just don't do this. And the king had pity and then not just gave him time, but then forgave the debt. Not just, okay, fine, you can work it off. But no, the king was like, I'll just forgive the debt. You'll never be able to work this off. I'll forgive the debt. See, that's what God is like. You're never going to be able to work off this debt, but I'll forgive you. But this is where forgiveness becomes something that once it's received, it's also extended. So I want to stop here. See, forgiving others seems to be pretty important to God. Important enough to say, if you do not forgive, then I won't forgive you. If you do not forgive, then I won't forgive you. There's not a lot of times in our walk with Jesus that he kind of puts this, if you don't do this, then I don't do this, this clearly. It's not very often. Usually there's a lot of grace and mercy that happens on the part of God, but this seems fairly important. Why is it so clear that Jesus, in multiple different accounts, it's made very clear, if you don't forgive, then God won't forgive you. Does that seem a little harsh? But here's the thing about forgiveness. It's all about your heart. It's all about your soul. And when we first and truly accept the forgiveness of sins that Jesus offers, it opens up our hearts to freedom and to understanding the compassion and the kindness of God. It is the beginning of a heart transformation so powerful that we even ourselves can forgive. If you remember, if you listened in or caught up from last week, I talked last week about Ephesians 4:32, that this could really be wrapped up into what, like, kind of the theme verse for this series that we're calling Begin, and it's to be kind to one another. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, another translation says. And if we didn't understand what that meant, Paul gave an even more clear definition, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. God forgives because he is compassionate. God forgives because he is kind, he is merciful, he is gracious. That is why he forgives. And the truth is that if we refuse to forgive, then our heart isn't in the condition to receive the ongoing forgiveness of Jesus. What I don't think Jesus is talking about here in this parable, he is talking to disciples. He is giving this parable to disciples who are followers of Jesus. He's not talking about the initial act of forgiveness of Jesus forgiving us for our sins and us receiving it. This is the ongoing discipling action of, if you receive the forgiveness of Jesus, but then you go and you don't want to forgive others, then when you mess up, because you will mess up, then why should God forgive you? If we are not going to continue to extend the forgiveness that we have been given, that we don't deserve, that God has so graciously given us in his kindness and compassion, then why would we continue to receive it from God if we're not willing to give it to others? And quite frankly, our heart's not even in the right spot. A heart can't be in a position to even receive forgiveness if it's closed off and hard and full of resentment and bitterness. It can't receive the freeing and the compassionate and the kindness that comes out of really receiving the forgiveness of God. So this isn't talking about the initial act of forgiveness. This is the ongoing relationship that we have with Jesus. But here's the tricky thing about forgiveness. What if the other person doesn't ask for it? What if the other person doesn't come and say, I want to be, would you forgive me? I mean, even in the story of the parable, I mean, the servant came to the master and said, would you forgive me? And the master and the king forgave the servant. I mean, what if the other person doesn't come and ask for forgiveness? And what if there doesn't seem to be a possible way to even be in a relationship with that person? What if maintaining contact with that person is unhealthy or even dangerous? What are we supposed to do with forgiveness then? See, this is the unique thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't have really much to do with the other at all. It doesn't have to involve the other. Forgiveness is about and for the condition of our heart. If you think back to 1 John last week, it says Christ forgave the sins of the world. Not Christ will forgive the sins of the world if they come to them. It says Christ forgave the sins of the world. I mean, Christ out of his heart forgave the sins of the world. Period. That's on God. That's on Christ. It was on his heart. And his action and his deeds and what he did out of his heart is that he forgave the sins of the world to make the next step possible. Because what we must not do when thinking about forgiveness and wrestling with what does it mean for us to have hearts of forgiveness and to forgive is that we cannot confuse forgiveness with reconciliation. Reconciliation is the repairing of the relationship, where forgiveness does not require that. Forgiveness is the repairing of our souls and our hearts. It is the precursor to reconciliation. There is going to be no hope for humanity to be reconciled to God if they were not first forgiven by God. Forgiveness is for our wholeness. Because without it, reconciliation is impossible. But what does it mean for us to forgive? What does it mean for us to have hearts that will forgive somebody else, not just 7 times, but 70 times 7? That we allow the Lord to do a healing and a work in our lives that doesn't even include the other person. We're not talking about reconciliation here. We're talking about forgiveness. And there will be some things in life and some relationships and some damages and some sins against us that are so bad that because we still live in a broken world and we still live with the hurt and the pain of suffering, that we may never be able to be reconciled to that person, but that doesn't mean they can't be forgiven. Because forgiveness isn't about reconciliation. Forgiveness is about the wholeness and the restoration of our hearts and our souls. Thinking back to the parable, the servant then went and wrung his hands around his fellow servant's neck, saying, you need to pay me back. Literally, I just had tons of gold forgiven from me, but your few thousand dollars, you have to pay me back. That is a heart that is full of resentment and bitterness and hardness and hatred. That heart couldn't receive the forgiveness that the king gave. That heart was not open to his heart being broken down and shown like, I needed this forgiveness. It wasn't just so that I can go and do whatever I want to, that I just have this weight off and I can go and do whatever I want to anybody else. Because forgiveness is about the condition of our hearts. It's about the restoration of our souls so that we can have kindness and compassion towards one another. That we can get to the steps of reconciliation with those that we need to. Because without forgiveness, reconciliation is not possible. We jump to reconciliation sometimes too quick and we realize we haven't even forgiven the person in our own heart. We're working an uphill battle at that point in time. So But what does it mean for us to forgive? What does it look like for us to forgive? You might be sitting there thinking, and you might have people popping up into your head of that you need to forgive. Maybe there's sins or trespasses against you that you're like, I've been holding on to this, because you know what? They deserve retribution. They don't deserve my forgiveness. They don't deserve to have that freeing feeling. Forgiveness isn't for them. If they come and seek it, then that's the beginning of reconciliation. But what does it mean for us to forgive? It means the beginning of wholeness and healing of our hearts and our souls. It combats bitterness and resentment that wants to harden our hearts towards those around us. So I've intentionally left communion to the end of the service today. And in this act of taking the body, the representation of the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, we are reminded of what Jesus has done for us. The extent and the lengths that he would go to in order for us to be forgiven. That his body would be broken, that his blood would be shed so that he might show us, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Receive it. Accept it. And as we receive the communion elements today, may we also be ready to receive and openness to, okay, now it's our turn. Who are we to forgive? Who are we to extend this forgiveness to? So as we do this, I want to open up the altars and you can come and you can pray. And we don't do public, you know, for you. Sometimes public things aren't the best for us. Sometimes coming out in public isn't great, but this is a place that nobody knows what you're coming to the Lord with. That you can come here and you can meet with the Lord and you can try to determine, God, who do I need to forgive? And God, help me to receive your forgiveness. And maybe you're thinking this morning, I need to receive the forgiveness of Jesus anew today. One of the our kind of theological grandfather, John Wesley of our tradition, they took communion often, and he would always say that communion is for those who follow Jesus, but also communion can be our initial saving act. That we, in taking communion for the first time, we can use that as our declaration that Jesus saved me. Not a saving act in and of itself, but it's just as effective as praying and repeating some prayer. That in receiving communion, we can renew our covenant, that we can renew our relationship with Jesus. We can receive once again the forgiveness of Jesus. So we're going to receive communion. If you haven't received communion with us before, then I kind of clean my hands with sanitizer, rip off some bread, dip it in the juice, and you can come forward. If you want prepackaged elements, there's some at the table in the back that you can receive. And then as you're preparing to receive communion, after you go back and sit down, or if you come up here to the altar, let's just be in prayer. Let's just be praying that the Lord would soften our hearts for what he wants to do in them. that we might receive the transformative power of forgiveness in our life. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful that we get the opportunity to receive forgiveness, but also that we get the opportunity to extend it as well. That we don't have to harbor bitterness or resentment. We don't have to harbor other sins or trespasses against them. We don't need to have that weight in our life. We don't need to have that conflict and that division in our life. God, that you make it possible for us to forgive because you have forgiven us. We get to experience your all-consuming compassion and your kindness and your grace and your mercy. That because we have received it from you, that now we know that we can extend it to others because we know the life-giving nature of it, the life-transformative nature of it. And God, as you are bringing people to mind that we need to wrestle with forgiving, and God, you're gracious with us. May we be like you in the parable of the prodigal son, that the son did not know what he was coming back to, and maybe others, they're fearful of speaking with us. They're fearful of coming to us. They're even fearful of coming to ask for forgiveness from us. And what if, God, you gave us the hearts that when they arrived back in our lives, that they were already forgiven? That we welcomed them in, we showed them your love, because, God, that is what expels fear and brokenness. So as we receive the meal that you have taught us to remember you by, your broken body and your shed blood, may we receive once again your forgiveness of our sin, that we may in turn forgive others. In your name, amen. Lord, I would ask that you would help us to begin with forgiveness. That when we have bitterness or anger and resentment taking place in our hearts and our souls, that we would be reminded of the forgiveness that you extend to us. That in that forgiveness, we would receive your kindness and your compassion and your grace, and your mercy, so that we may extend that to others even if they don't know it. Just as you extend it to us, even though we don't always realize it. May we allow your forgiveness and the forgiveness of others to mend and repair our hearts and our souls. May we allow forgiveness to be the physician in our life that we need. God, may we never tire of offering forgiveness, because we want to continue to be like you. Because you never tire of extending it to us. So God, we ask that this is the way that we begin. That as we begin a new year, as we just begin a new cycle in life, that we might begin with forgiveness. A renewed understanding of your kindness and compassion and your grace to us. And releasing the bitterness and resentment and anger that we have for others, may we extend that same kindness and compassion and graciousness to others. so that we can fully lean in to what you want to do in our lives. God, be with us. Be with us as we go from this place of gathering, as we go into the world in which we live, that it is not something that we only think about and are a part of here, but we take it with us. We take the light of forgiveness with us. That our forgiveness might be refreshing to the souls of others. And may you get all the glory for it. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.